Hey, welcome to the latest episode of the Fuck Off Everton podcast with me, Nathan O'Hagan.
And me, Bill Cummings.
Main news this week, which we'll dive into straight away, was obviously on Monday we found out officially that we were getting 4 points back of the initial 10 that had been deducted after the FFP breach. Recording this on Friday afternoon, so we've had a bit of time for the dust to settle and for the news to sink in and everything. So with a bit of time to reflect, what are your feelings on it now as opposed to then?
I suppose having read and digested a lot, 4 points seemed like about the best result we were going to get. I suppose in an ideal world, if they'd have looked at the Sheffield Wednesday case where they got theirs halved, we could have got 5. But I think considering that they made such a big song and dance about it being 6 for a breach, I think it was always going to be 6. So basically they took, what I did like is they took into account our trend of, you know, spending going down in the report. But you know, it's still, the whole rule is still ridiculous because the idea that you get a sporting advantage from it, I just don't agree with. I mean, what sporting advantage do we get?
Yeah, as the majority of it's related to stadium spending.
Exactly.
There's no on-pitch advantage. So to me, it doesn't feel like a massive win to get 4 points back.
I suppose in the situation we're in.
Yeah.
It's when you consider that they made such a big thing about 6 points. But I know what you mean. I don't think it's a win as such as like a reasonable result, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they made such a big song and dance about the 6 points for, you know, a breach and all that. But we've got the second one as well.
Yeah, but obviously, I mean, as you mentioned, the things they've taken into account in the appeal, the fact that they've acknowledged that it wasn't an inverted commas malicious breach, yeah, and they'd also stated that we hadn't acted with the utmost honesty, the utmost transparency, I think was the phrase, which they sort of retracted in the appeal. So they acknowledged that, you know, we had cooperated, we hadn't tried to sort of obfuscate and hide things, which is what they'd suggested initially, yeah, which, you know, is clearly nonsense because we were working, you know, hand in glove with them for a couple of seasons now on our. That's why it came as such a huge surprise in the first place. So they've acknowledged that that's not the case. And as you say, the positive trend that we've now shown in terms of getting the spending very much under control, certainly on the pitch. I mean, it's likely that we have breached again. And I think realistically, we can expect some sort of sanction. But, you know, some people are predicting another 6 points. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near.
I don't think maximum of four.
I think realistically we might get 2, and I don't think it's beyond the realms that, you know, it's even 1 or possibly a non.
I was listening to a podcast. I think it was Toffee TV, and they were saying that why don't the Premier League get in a room with Everton and Forest and sort of thrash something out? So I don't know. But that might be like a positive spin on it. They'll still want to, because this has set the precedent now of 6 points, isn't it? Which I still don't know how they arrived at 6 points, even though this appeal, you know, result was like, I think it was more well written and like more meat on the bones of it. It still didn't explain how they got 6 points, although they did say that, you know, 10 points is ridiculous. I don't know. So how did they get to the 6 points? Somebody said, is it because it's like 3 points for a breach and then another point for every 5 you're over or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, it's all entirely sort of arbitrary and like made
up. Where does it come from?
You know, it's this sort of infrastructure that they've never enforced.
No.
You know, put these rules in place, never enforce it, and then suddenly decide to go all in on it. And then change the sort of parameters as they go and make it up as they go and with it.
There were things that were around the stadium that they, at one point they said that was okay. And the next minute, so they changed the goalposts really.
Yeah.
And, I was saw Kieran Maguire going on about, oh, well, all the clubs voted for it. It's like, well, number one, the clubs didn't actually vote for points deductions, because in the handbook it doesn't say anything about that. It just says all options are open. And number two, it's 10 years since that that limit was put in. That's out of date.
Yeah, you know, no adjustment inflation, for inflation. Yeah,
yeah, with inflation, it should be much more than that. I mean, it's just the whole thing's ridiculous. But yeah, and then I suppose the other thing we can hope
but, over those 10 years.
Yeah, because people didn't expect it to be. So it probably a lot of it relates to City at some point that comes down the line. Do you know what I mean? So, but for our, you know, from our standpoint, I suppose it does. I'm just looking at the table now. It does give us 5 points. It does give us a bit of a breathing space from Luton, even though they've got a game in hand. But it does give us a bit of a boost in this context of this moment.
It moves us up to 15th, which, you know, still doesn't reflect where we should be.
No, but in the context, we haven't won a match for how many?
Yeah.
10 is it or something?
Something like that, yeah. But, you know, it's a win and a draw. Exactly. In that sense, isn't it? To apply it in a sporting sense, it's a win and a draw, kind of out of nowhere.
Albeit. I think the second one, I mean, the mood music I'm getting from it is that it isn't as serious. And considering 2 years have already been punished for,
yeah.
In reality, and I saw something about Alan Myers was saying that what they actually do in that circumstance is cap the first 2 years at 35 million. And so to go over, we'd have to have spent something like 38 to 40, something like that, in the realm of 40 odd million. So, you know, gone over breach by, but, I mean, you know, spreadsheets and accountancy, it's just not, you know, it's not why any of us got into fellow football.
No, it's tiresome, isn't it? You know, we just want this shit out the way so we can concentrate on complaining about the team rather than complaining about the league. You know, it's just dominated everything. It's cast a shadow over the entire season and will do regardless of the outcome.
It will.
Whether we stay off, whatever.
I think now we've got this opportunity now to kick on to... Now we kind of got that one raft of uncertainty out of the way to... Because we saw last time it when the points were taken, that almost, you know... gave us, not a boost, but it did galvanise the team almost.
Yeah, now they have to do the same.
Yeah, so you feel like, and it sort of boosted Luton. So now the opposite, you would hope. We've got 4 points back. It gives us slight breathing space. If we lose a match, then we're not straight in the bottom three. So it gives us a bit of a, you know, hopefully it'll, you know, take the reins off the players a little bit. Because I do feel like there's been, especially the bits I saw of the Crystal Palace match, it felt like there was a kind of nervousness there, not to lose.
Absolutely. It's finally stuck something to the players. You know, Dice has done everything he can to sort of, you know, block out the noise, as he always says. But he can only do so much, and they are human. And, you know, they will be looking at things. You know, a lot of them are young, so they'll be on, you know, social media and everything, and they will be looking at all these things. And, of course, it's going to affect them. And a couple of them have said as much in recent and have spoken about it and said, you know, it has started to affect him, and Dice has acknowledged that it started to sort of sink in a little bit. So it gives some clarity, doesn't it? And as well as the boost, it just gives clarity so they can sort of stop thinking about it, at least for the time being. And then you've also got the 4-point boost and the shift up in the table a little bit. So it has to be used as a platform, doesn't it? You know, and there's no excuses now, really. You know, it will hopefully just loosen the sort of self-imposed shackles that the players are sort of playing under at the moment. And, you know, the lack of confidence and belief that you're seeing in certain players, like, you know, you refer to the Palace game, you know, the bit of where McNeil sort of literally turned around when he had a clear run on goal. You know, he did a little pointless 360 and played the ball inside because, you know, the confidence and the belief has been affected and the decision-making's then been affected. So it has to, you know, take the reins off a little bit, and the players have to use it positive from the players' point of view, from a purely professional footballing point of view. They've now got 4 points that they didn't have. It's a win and a draw that they didn't have. And, you know, psychology is so important in sports, isn't it?
And it makes it clearer, because up until now, it's almost like, oh, well, if we're not going to win, then at least get the point. You know what I mean? At least get that point. Because then you're still notching on the board, aren't you? Because although we haven't won, we have been racking up the draws. So
Yeah.
That's still ticking up the table, you know.
Yeah.
We've got a good draw, you know, a Brighton or low. You know, obviously we could have nicked it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it depends whether you're half full or half empty there, aren't it?
Yeah. It's still a point we probably didn't expect before.
Exactly. I mean, I expect us to lose. But then on the other hand, those kind of games away at a team that dominate the ball kind of suits us. So it depends how you look at it.
Yeah. Straight and drop the two, but still, you know, as we've said, it's a point gained in a sense.
And yeah, I suppose it's the frustrating ones may have been the Fulham one, because really we had chances to, you know, to nick that.
Mm. Well, the Palace one in particular is the really frustrating one.
Yeah, I was going to go on to that.
But yeah.
But Fulham, we had chances to nick it, and although they had chances as well. And also there was the handball that wasn't given. I can't remember the last time we did a pod, so it's kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's been a while. It was before the Fulham game, I think, so yeah.
But yeah, we should have had a pen there as well, really. I mean, but obviously, then you come to Palace. But I think it's like a thing of like, oh, you expect to win because you're at home to Palace, but it's like you can't expect to win because we are a team, ultimately, that's won 3 home games in the league.
Yeah.
That's the brutal reality of it.
Yeah, and they're struggling to score, and you know, exactly. has had this thing hanging over their head as well.
Yeah, I think that is big. But also, there has been injuries. There has also been things like, you know, you're talking about McNeil there. Is he really fit? Does he look fit? Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot of factors within that.
Yeah, the squad being down to the bare bones, you know, playing one central midfielder.
Yeah, we only had one midfielder fit, you know, and stuff like that.
We've been up against it in many ways.
I know Dyche was saying about groin injuries and stuff for Onana and Garner, but I was actually watching the training videos before, and I don't know when that's taken, but Onana looked all right there, but I don't know.
Let's hope that that's the case.
Yeah.
we don't want to be in that situation again where we've only got one.
To play, really, don't we?
Yeah.
Gomez is back on the grass, so there you go. Actually, he was involved in training when I was looking at it. I was like, he's involved in training.
Anywhere near the squad, but...
No, yeah. But he might be on the bench. You never know. He might be on the bench.
I'll see.
You don't think so, no.
I don't seem like he's that advanced yet, but...
Not ready yet.
I mean, he
was involved in full training, though. I was surprised.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what's happening, won't we? But, we'll come to the match in more.
Yeah.
Shortly, but you know, to sort of wrap up the points thing, because it has been sort of dissected in many places and we've been talking about it back and forth. You know, at this point, we'll take it, won't we? You know.
Yeah, on the proviso.
We were expecting maybe nothing back, you know, because they dragged it out so long.
Yeah.
Didn't know what that meant, if that was positive or what.
I always thought we would get something. And that's kind of that was what I was saying to you, wasn't it? My kind of guess was 3 or 4 points.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of my guess, really. I mean, 10, as it said in the report, 10 is more than administration. That can't be right. I suppose it has implications for Forest's.
It does, doesn't it? I mean,
I think they haven't said a lot about it. And I think there is an element of like, politics with all of this, isn't there? Because if you remember rightly, when in November when we got it, the club did say, oh, you know, it's disproportionate and it's outrageous, excessive, etc., which it was. But you have to remember that this is the way the Premier League act is, like, because we did that, you know, they probably wouldn't have liked that, would they? You know, they wanted us just to accept it, really.
Yeah.
So there's an element with the second one, you notice our tone has changed. Our tone was, we are satisfied and, you know, we're happy we've got some points back. And, you know what I mean? It's like the tone has changed.
Yeah,
so there's obviously an element of how, and this probably relates to, you know, Super Silk that we've had on our case. It's how do you politic your way to get a lesser punishment?
Yeah.
Because that's part of it, you know.
Yeah,
and when you think about the original one, it's because we went in there so arrogantly and so poorly prepared, and Mashiri saying things like we needed a midfield, and you know, which might be true, but it's quite stupid.
Yeah,
he also said he didn't money's no object to him. So then they give us a points, you know. So he's just stupid. Very stupid man. But anyway, we could get on the ownership in a minute. Ultimately, I think Forest are going to get more than six. Because,
well, realistically, you would expect so, because the breach is seen as a so-called malicious one, in that it's directly sporting-related due to demand players have signed.
They bought about £150 million worth of players, didn't they? Yeah, something like
42
that.
Players, and they've not sold many. Obviously, Brennan Johnson going to Tottenham was the big one. And
it was after the deadline, though.
Yeah, and then they sold someone else in the...
And I think our argument is we sold people after the deadline as well. We sold Sims and Smith, apparently, after the deadline.
Hmm.
Which might come into our appeal. But probably what it's going to be is our losses are probably, again, related to the stadium, related to paying off a manager like Lampard, and, you know, some of our loans and stuff like that, interest on our loans and things like that. Yeah. And that's probably where we've lost money again.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
But ultimately, we can only, at least it feels a bit more like it's in our hands, where if we can win, I'm just being conservative here, three games maybe, get some points, draws.
We need another,
I'm being conservative.
Points to be sure, don't we?
Because we're on 25 now.
Yeah.
I think if we get to 37, 38, 39, 40, obviously.
Well, 35 probably keeps
us
up now.
But we're talking about another punishment as well.
Yeah. Yeah, if we give ourselves, I was thinking of, you know, another 12 points, factor in maybe two coming off that. That I should be enough. And it's certainly achievable, you know, especially now they should, if they get this boost, they should be looking at the fixture they've got coming up and seeing, you know, there's easily 12, 15 points there if we perform. But it is now back in our hands, which is probably as much as you can ever hope for.
Yeah. Really.
Regardless of what happens to Forest.
Yeah. I suppose the thing about Forest is if we can keep above them, it does give us some kind of comfort in a way, because they're going to probably get worse than us.
Yeah.
But not that I really agree with points deductions.
I don't want anyone to go
entirely. Some, no. You know, and I actually quite like Forest. I've got a mate, you know, Dom, who's a Forest fan, and I don't actually want them to go down. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, not for footballing reasons anyway. Yeah.
Oh. It should be decided. I think that's what I've been hearing is, you know, this whole appeal after the season stuff. What the Premier League's aim will be with this next punishment is not for us, either of us to appeal, you know?
Yeah.
Because if we appeal, it's going to be a minefield, isn't it? It's going to be going into the next season.
Yeah, it's going to drag it.
See, when you think about it, how long it took ours to be appealed, their timetable is just not going to work, is it? They said a week after the season. That's not going to happen. So it's within everyone's, you know, what's the word? In everyone's interest to settle it in the first... You know, at the first go.
Yeah.
And I should imagine if Forest get anything, you know, they get around 6 points, they'd probably accept it.
Yeah.
And if we got 2 or 3 points, we'd probably accept it. But if we got 6 points, we wouldn't accept it.
No, absolutely not. No.
So then it goes into an appeal, doesn't it?
Yeah. But I think the Premier League probably will be mindful of that. You know, they'll want to pitch it right.
I think so.
So that it doesn't drag on. You know, like I said to you the other night, they must be wishing they'd never fucking started this.
It's a can of worms.
Yeah.
And it's going to go on and on.
Brought extra scrutiny to themselves. You know, we all know why they did it in the first place, was to flex their muscles in front of the threat of a independent government regulator. And it's worked the opposite for them. It's brought heightened scrutiny. So they'll be wishing they'd never done it. And they will want to put it to bed as soon as possible.
So they can
sort of try and move on from it.
That's why you'd almost feel like, is there the chance, I know this is being optimistic again, but is there a chance of like a compromise settlement, you know? Is there? Because is it really in the interest of everyone to go through more of these commissions and appeals, you know?
Mm.
But then I suppose on the other hand is the precedent that's been set now.
Yeah.
In our case is 6 points, you know, for that kind of breach.
Yeah.
But then I suppose our case is different because we're answering to things that are like 5 years old now almost. Yeah. In one in one season, which is mad, really. And twice, which is the double jeopardy thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, in the EFL, they wouldn't accept. I know, it's all bollocks. I'd rather just talk about football, really.
Yeah. Sadly, I mean, we'll move on from the points thing, but unfortunately, being Evertonians, we have so much to worry about beyond just the football. I mean, the ongoing saga, apart from the points, is obviously the proposed takeover by 7-7 Partners, and you know, there's constant news coming out about them not answering questions adequately for the Premier League, like, and to prove their source of income. But they've had another setback this week, because their reinsurance wing, 777 Re, has been downgraded by AM Best, who are like the sort of, you know, industry sort of regulator kind of thing. Yeah. They've downgraded their rating to a C minus, effectively, which is they were an A minus. They got downgraded to B minus in November, and now it's a C minus rating, which is considered to be weak, and the company is unrated for investment purposes. That's significant, because 7-7 Re was one of the few wings of their business which was making serious money, and they were going to use that to fund lots of other parts of their endeavours, including the football side,
right,
which obviously affects us. So just when the Premier League are asking them to provide more evidence that they can fund the takeover, they've now had one of their main sources of income not cut off, but significantly affected, it seems, anyway, you know, from what I'm reading. And it's the reinsurance business, which was something happened in Bermuda. The Bermudan sort of financial authorities kind of froze their assets there, and that was one of the other areas where they were actually making money. So it seems to me that it's, you know, just bad news after bad news from 777's point of view. I'm at the point now where I can't see it happening. I can't see them getting approval. Obviously, they've had approval from the financial regulatory
authority
and the FA, but the FA and FRA don't have significant input. It's basically down to the Premier League, and they seem highly dubious. I mean, the amount of time it's dragged on, it's now 25 weeks, and they promised a 12-week resolution. You know, Everton and 777 said it would be concluded in 12 weeks, and that seemed to be the time frame given by the Premier League as well. We're now over double that. If they can't provide the answers by this point, then surely the Premier League at some point have just got to say, you're not getting approval. You know, we can't give the go-ahead.
You seem to be following it more than me, but weren't there rumours that they were meeting the Premier League face-to-face this week?
There were, but then this news has come since they were supposedly scheduling a meeting. I don't think that meeting's happened yet. But since they said they wanted to have a face-to-face meeting, this news about 777 Re being downgraded has come since then. So it's just a fiasco, isn't it?
It is.
They just seem like a bunch of absolute shysters, don't they?
Probably, but then it's so hard to know what. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'd rather them not take us over.
I don't think anyone was keen on them.
But
I didn't see a single person saying anything positive about them. But I think people gave them such.
Does it being rejected like put us in more limbo? Do you know what I mean? Because
I think people's big fear is that
the amount of money they're pumping in.
Well, yeah, but you know, they just become creditors, same as anyone else.
Probably.
But the fear of a lot of people is that if this collapses, then we're in administration. That's not the case. You know, it doesn't follow. You know, Mashiri in the interim before another buyer came in would have to fund again. And people say, no, we won't do that because he's checked out, which he has. But if he allows us to go into administration, he gets fuck all.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to have to take a massive hit on his initial investment in buying the club. He's going to have to take a massive hit to get rid of the club to anyone. That's just a fact. And he's probably accepted that. privately. But if he doesn't fund the rest of the stadium build and, you know, month to month operational costs, then we would go into administration and he would lose every penny that he's put in.
Yeah.
So he can't allow that to happen.
No.
So I think we need to stop worrying about administration. It just means that this
we're still looking for a buyer. We're still looking for a buyer, basically.
Yeah, and there's lots of rumours about other groups ready. I mean, The Athletic did a thing the other day where they said they haven't really found any evidence to suggest that that's necessarily the case. But you would think, you know, groups will be keeping the cards pretty close to their chest and keeping quiet until such time as they can actually make a move on the club. But I would be surprised. I know we're in a mess, but, you know, people talk about all the debt that we've got, but the fact is all the creditors will all have to take a reduced amount back. Mashiri will have to write off hundreds of millions. All the creditors to accept they won't get everything back. Otherwise, they'll get nothing back.
Isn't that what the deal is? If 777 do take over, he writes off a large part of his loans, apparently.
Yeah, I think he writes off a lot less if they take over. Yeah. But I think he'd have to write off a lot more if they don't and other people come in. But all creditors will probably have to accept a reduced amount.
Oh, that's the idea, isn't it? Yeah. Whoever comes in is going to have to restructure all the debt.
Yeah, the debt as it stands looks pretty terrifying, but in real terms, if someone comes in and takes us over, that will be reduced and renegotiated and restructured and everything.
I think what I'm referring to is the debt that the loans that Mashiri has lent us to build the stadium. Because apparently, if 777 do take over, he'll just turn those into whatever. Equity or whatever. I don't know. I understand how it works. It's all beyond my brain, really, you know?
Yeah. Well, mine too, you know, I don't pretend to have any more, you know.
But apparently, you know, there's a large chunk of that debt that we've got will become, you know, just what he's selling, basically. But, yeah, I suppose the issue is somebody comes in. It's not, we're not like Newcastle where they had low debt. We have got that there. So it is somebody needs to come in to sort it out, really, and unpick all the issues, don't they?
Yeah.
I think the issue is, though, is that, I mean, I'm confused with 777, how they actually make money. They just seem to be like a firm that loans off other people, don't they? I don't know. It's some kind of equity scheme.
Yeah, I mean, they've got lots of other, there's lots of wings to the company. I think, like, the fintech wing, I think, was making money. And the reinsurance thing is making money and funding lots of other parts of the business, which is probably why it's taken so long for the Premier League to get satisfactory answers, because they're trying to track the sort of where the revenue streams are coming from within their overall structure.
Right. Yeah.
And that's probably quite complicated, and they've not been.
They just need to make a decision on it, though, don't they? Yes or no? Just make a decision on it.
I mean, you know, if they haven't provided the answers in 25 weeks, they've got to assume that they can't provide the answers. So pull the plug on the deal.
Yeah, exactly. Just make a decision. I did feel like it was a little bit linked to the appeal thing where they wanted to get the appeal out of the way and then deal with this.
You know,
most. Because you feel like in normal circumstances, they would have made a quicker decision. But the appeal went dragged on as well, didn't it?
I mean, the two should be unrelated, but, you know.
It should be, but you know what the Premier League's like. And the Premier League doesn't have, apparently, they don't have a huge bandwidth to deal with all these different things.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, because the appeal's like to do with a commission that's meant to be independent of the Premier League, but I suppose it's all about optics, isn't it? If they approved or disproved a deal during an appeal process, it would look kind of like they're making a, you know what I mean? They're making a, some kind of influence. I don't know. I can't explain it. There's some kind of PR kind of.
No, you're probably right. It probably is
whether
like
whether they you know, approve it or refuse it, it's going to be, somebody's going to be unhappy, you know, either way. Obviously 777, they waited this long and they pumped in, what is it, 140 million or something. They're not going to be happy if they don't get approved. They're not going to be happy. And then, you know, if they do get approved, then a lot of people won't be happy. So I don't know. But what I question I've got for you though is that they own other clubs, and how does it work with their other clubs? You know, are there other clubs financially secure, or are they struggling? You know what I mean?
Been struggling.
I know there's a lot of noise around 777, as Dice likes to say, noise.
Yeah.
But what's going on with their other clubs? That's the main question for me. I think ultimately, though, if they did actually seal the deal, we would be their example, wouldn't we? We'd be their jewel in the crown.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'd have to make us successful. Otherwise, if we didn't, that whole group would be gone, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's arguments for or against. Yeah. I mean, they haven't got massive results, have they?
They're struggling financially. You know, they've been hit with like transfer embargoes, and you know, there's been things of like unpaid wages.
But isn't the thing about them is they do take over distressed assets?
Yeah.
So that,
yeah, that's their model
in reality
of acquisition.
Some of those clubs, maybe that was going to happen to them anyway. I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs of it.
With Standard Liège, their Italian club, Genoa. When they took out, they were sort of expected to go down. So
isn't the Spanish club? They don't actually own it. They just own a stake in it or something.
Yeah, Sevilla.
Yeah,
that they were already struggling, but you know, continue to, you know, they haven't really.
It's like a lot of these groups, though. Ultimately, even if it's not these guys, it's not going to be somebody great, is it? Let's be honest.
No, but. You want them to at least be competent.
You do. I like the. What I heard about MSP, I like the idea of that more, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because they were another group with, you know, multi-club group, but they seemed a bit more successful. They seemed a bit more like they had more expertise because there were some people from McLaren involved, and it just sounded a bit more.
Their overall track record just seemed a bit more successful and together, whereas...
But they didn't want to take over the whole club, though, did they? They just wanted a part of it. Maybe Mashiri, he wants out now.
Yeah.
So that might have been a big part why he agreed to the 777 thing.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's all, again, you're going back to spreadsheets and accountancy and...
Yeah, which you could do without.
It's beyond my brain, a lot of it, you know.
Yeah.
Really, these days, to be, you know, an Everton fan, you're going to be a bit... business expert as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like I was saying to you the other day, in the 90s, you didn't really know about all this crap, really. No. I mean, I remember reading in the Echo about, you know, Peter Johnson and his hamper business and all of this kind of stuff, but, you know, and, you know, there'd be stuff around the stadiums, the Kirby Stadium, you know, there was a lot of different things.
It wouldn't dominate, though.
No.
The way it does now.
Yeah, and it's social media has made it like a sort of feeding frenzy, hasn't it, for stories?
Yeah.
Clickbait stories, rumour, and you know, and just like, I don't know, counter rumour, and I don't know. It's constant, really. I think almost like, I don't know, focus on the football a little bit more.
Just want to, you know, whoever takes us over.
Is it all important, but ultimately.
Yeah.
You can't worry about it because it's beyond your control, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. And it's the same with the next point deduction. It's like, you can't really, what can you do? You can't control that. As Dice says, you have to control the controllables.
Yeah.
And the controllables are, we need to start winning home games. We'll get on to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I suspect we'll, you know, it won't go far beyond the next week or so before a decision on 777, presumably. You know, we can't keep dragging it out. I was hoping by the end of the last month they'd have made a decision, but if this face-to-face meeting happens, maybe that's sort of do or die for them, and then we'll know then. But as you say, you know, it could well drag on for weeks yet. So yeah, we'll put that to bed. I just wanted to talk about it because of that further news that had come out about them
being this downgraded. Week.
So, yeah, we'll move on from that, and we'll talk about the actual football, you know, as almost like an afterthought, isn't it? After all the fucking drama of points and takeovers, now we can...
Yeah, how long have we been going? We're not really talking about football that much.
So, a home to West Ham, on paper, you know, it's a winnable game. It's the kind of game you probably want after the 4 points coming back. Obviously, West Ham had a really good win.
Yeah.
Right, and, you know, they've got players back now.
Some of their good players back.
And Kudelson and Bowen in great form as well. But Paqueta. Still, you know, they are a beatable.
They are. And you could, the thing about West Ham is you can get at them. Because, and they do, you know, they do give you a chance. So that's the one thing about them.
Yeah.
And we did beat them last time away, so.
And we're similar in some ways that, you know, we maybe play more on the counter rather than dominate the ball. So it might just be like the ball's in the centre circle and no one wants to touch it. They're waiting for someone to actually go and kick it so we can defend and counter-attack. But, I mean, hopefully Onana is back, because if we do have, you know, more of the ball, we need someone who can do a bit more with it, and he's probably the one.
I think he's got to play. I think even if he has got a sore groin, I think he's got to play.
Well, I suppose...
Unfortunately.
You know, the sports science.
Yeah, probably.
Tell Dyche how many minutes he can actually manage. But, yeah,
if
I mean,
he was
in full training, as you say, so hopefully he's fit to start.
It may just be a small issue, maybe sort of a small issue. He just felt something, you know.
Yeah.
After the last game. Because he had an injury as well, didn't he? You know, a knee injury before that, so.
Yeah, that's why, you know, he was sort of brought back quite slowly and was only coming off the bench, because obviously sports science team had said he can't manage a full game yet, but hopefully he can now, regardless of this.
Yeah, we need him, because we missed him against Palace, because he sort of dictates the play for us, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He sets the tone, and he's good on the ball.
Yeah, and he can advance up, you know, he sort of takes it on the half turn quite nicely and looks to go forward with it, is his main thing, you know, rather than just sort of playing safe. He will look to, you know, he takes risks sometimes, and sometimes you've got your heart in your mouth a little bit, but you want someone who's willing to receive the ball in tight areas and look to play forward. You know, we need to be a little bit more on the front foot, don't we? And
I agree.
He's the one who can offer us that. And
also, he's a threat at set pieces. He's huge.
Yeah.
As we've seen, you know, and as we saw against Palace,
yeah.
Well, really, when he came on, he changed the game, really. You know, he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so. We looked much better with him in the team.
And he was good against City as well when he came on, even though we lost that one, which was predictable. We did actually do quite well for, like, 70 minutes, keeping them, you know, they didn't have a shot on target, but then quality told, you know. All their subs off the bench, you know.
Yeah.
That's the difference. It's like, you know, sporting advantage, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but
what sport an advantage.
Yeah, but with the 4 points, as we say, it's got to boost the players, and they've got to go into this game with a lot more belief than they showed against.
Yeah, Palace. I think what we need to do at home, like I know Dyche is, like, you know, he's known as a sort of a more pragmatic manager, but I think at home, even when he was at Burnley, it's like he made it nasty for teams. I think that's what we need to do. We don't, especially the Palace game. I mean, I think there is a lot of factors around the points deduction and the fear of, and also it's in the crowd as well, isn't it? The crowd was quite quiet as well.
Yeah.
I feel like we need
there's nervousness
now,
in the crowd as well.
And now that's out of the way. We need to just, like, go for it and try and get some wins. If we get some wins on the board, say we got a couple of wins on the board, we'd be near enough safe, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, not far from safety. So it's just such a difference, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, we've got to
start. I feel like we need to start, like, give it a tempo where we're putting a team under pressure. We don't do that enough at home. We haven't done, really. Like, I'm not expecting, like, amazing football, but just, like, have a go, have a tempo about you where you're. I mean, and to be fair, like, when he first came in, that's what the team we did at home. You know. We put teams under pressure, you know, put in crosses. But it seems to have gone a little bit. And maybe it is nerves, and maybe it is, like, pressure. But
I think it is because, you know, you go back to that spell, you know, before the turn of the year when we won four on the bounce, didn't concede a goal. We were attacking.
And even before that, when we weren't scoring, we were still making loads of chances. It feels like it's slowly ebbed away. And I think there are factors in that in terms of, like, the same players sort of getting, you know, weary and injuries. Yeah, there's a lot of factors in it. And also, what we tend to do when we're not getting anywhere, so we sort of, like, rely on Tarks and Pickford to sort of, like, launch direct balls, you know?
Yeah.
When we get into that idea that we're not going to, you know, we haven't got the tempo or the, you know, the, like you said, no Onana in the middle. to sort of keep
the ball. Yeah, we just start going long, which is
dreadful
to watch, you know, just go. I know it can be a good asset, you know.
Yeah, you've got to mix it up a bit, aren't you? You've got to mix it up a bit. That's all.
If that's all you've got, you think, you know, this is not going to be enough. You know, we need to do more. And we need to stop relying on set pieces so much. It's great that we score so many set pieces, but it's now got to the point where we only score from set pieces. We've got to start scoring from open play.
That is one thing I said to you, like, Daesh, he's like, his strength is his stubbornness in terms of his, you know, consistency of selections and, you know, he's got a great structure of defence and stuff. But also, it's a bit of his weakness as well, because at times you feel like if he just, like, tried something slightly different. I'm not even talking about, like, you know, bringing in a load of kids or, you know, ripping it up or anything. I'm just talking about slight tweaks at times, you know. Like, maybe trying Harrison on the left. Do you know what I mean? Things like that. Just, like, slight things he could have done.
Well, I just think the personnel has dictated it a lot of the time. Because when
I agree. I've got a lot of sympathy for it. And I do generally think he has done a good job. But I just think there are times when if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same results, it doesn't work. You know, it's a bit of a sign of insanity, isn't it? What's that?
Yeah.
You know, it is really. So sometimes you have to just try something slightly different. And I'm not even saying, you know, like rip it up or like you said, there's not the options there. But at times I do feel like he could just make slight little tweaks, you know.
Mm. But the players have also got to take responsibility
for
moments, you know, and try different things. You know, that refer to it earlier, that moment when against Palace when Dwight was away on the left wing with like 30 yards open in front of him. Instead of going towards goal, he stopped, span, and played it inside, you know. And that's probably the lack of confidence and the lack of belief that's been sinking into them with the uncertainty. But now that uncertainty's gone.
Yeah.
Around the
there
point.
Is probably that.
The play
you've got a manager who's like very like safety first, as in terms of, which is fair enough in the position we're in. It's like don't come out of your position. If you come out of your position, we could lose a goal there, and you know we could lose points. You know, so it's kind of you got that in your brain, haven't you? You know, as a player, and then also you've got the pressure of oh. We can't lose this, you know what I mean? It's a big game, blah, blah, blah. And also the pressure. We, as a club, even before Daesh, like, we've always struggled with, like, when it's a must-win game. And especially, in fact, our home record has been pretty bad. Like, not as bad as this, but, like, not as good for, well, going back, God, I don't know, when would you say Ancelotti, probably?
Yeah.
It probably started that second Ancelotti season.
We had a massive
drop off.
Yeah.
At home. And ever since then, we just can't seem to. And a lot of it's to do with personnel. Like, a lot of people saying we lack pace, and we do. And there's a reason we lack pace, because we've sold it all. I was thinking about it the other night. Like, we've had to sell Richarlison, Iwobi.
Gordon. Iwobi.
Yeah. We're all doing well, ironically enough.
Yeah.
You know, even Gray, you know, who. I know he wanted to go, and I know he wanted to sell him, but he was an option of pace, wasn't he? And I suppose Dan Juma was meant to be the one, but he just hasn't—he hasn't done anything, has he?
Just hasn't worked out, and now he's injured as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's injured. Yeah. But even just having that like option, and you think—and that's probably why we went for Nonto so much, isn't it? Because even in a dice system, you need pace where somebody who can. You know, like on the counter, you can just take
it. Yeah, well, you especially need it if you're playing on the counter.
I wouldn't say, I think Harrison's pretty sharp, but he's not rapid. But we do lack, you know, but ultimately, even if you lack pace, you can still have patterns at play that, like, you know, break teams down. I'm not even talking about anything like Man City-esque. I'm talking about, like, a 1-2, get to the byline, you know, cross it in, you know.
I can't remember last time. Had someone actually get to the byline.
Don't do that very often.
No.
We put a lot of crosses in, but they're all from, like, you know, like sort of 18-yard line, kind of.
And they're kind of, like, floated in as well. You know, Harrison cutting inside and kind of floating it in.
I think that's why
it's really hard for a striker to attack that kind of ball, you know, when it's, like, floating in over your head. You know, it's really hard to do anything with that. You're then down to, like, you trying to win the second ball, you know, trying to get it knocked down or flicked on, whereas if you get into the byline or, you know, past the sort of the edge of the box, you're driving it in low or whatever, or cutting it back from the byline.
Yeah.
It's much more dangerous.
Dom scored a lot of his goals in that purple patch, didn't he? People cutting it back, you know?
Yeah, exactly. First time finishes.
Yeah. Dean were coming, and because that's the thing about, like, although Calvert-Lewin's been on, he doesn't look confident, but on the other hand, are we making the kind of chances that, you know, he likes? I don't think so, really.
No, well, clearly not, no.
I mean, he has missed a couple, but
then... He has, but, you know, it's, they're not really sort of like gilt-edge chances, most of them. You know, people went on about the Palace one, probably should have hit the target, but it wasn't an easy chance by any means. Anyone who thinks it's easy to score a header from, you know, 12 yards out doesn't know what they're talking about. You know, it's difficult. And we're not making it easy for him.
No, he's
stuck. You know, he's doing most of his work outside the box, and he's still doing that pretty well. But he's not getting the service in, you know.
No, he's not. I don't think he's the striker, to be honest. I don't think he's the striker. Although, you know, obviously Bella's very raw. But I don't think either striker gets the service they want, really. You know,
no. So
it's very hard to judge either of them, I think. I think if we had, like, a creative player in the middle of the park who's threading footballs through, or if we had more pace in the wings, you know, I think those guys would score more goals, you know. I think it's a lot of it's team thing, you know. But
well, we have to find a way, don't we, against West Ham, and we've got to start doing it, you know, straight away.
I feel like you were saying about McNeil before, it's like, even if he's not on form, and even if he's not, maybe he isn't even like 100% fit or everything, he does pop up with an assist, you know, even for that corner on the Palace game. The corner in that we got a goal from, he put in a few balls that, you know, on another day could have been goals, you know. He does put in a couple of nice ones every match. So there is a reason why he's in the team still.
Yeah, of course.
And he can also take a pot, you know, a shot, you know. You do wonder with McNeil. You almost feel like, could he play as like an attacking midfielder? I don't know. I suppose that's what he is almost, the way he cuts in like that, you know.
Yeah. I think he does his best work sort of down the sort of left wing or sort of left, like, inside channel kind of thing, but
it's interesting. I was looking at like what Dyche's tactics are generally, and I was looking at one of those masterclass things again, and he was on about like crunching the field and like getting your full backs up, but our full backs don't really do that, do they?
No, well, they're old for the most part.
Mikulenko tries, but he's not really an attacking fullback.
Who's that?
Mikulenko, he does try and get forward.
But he's got forward more this season than he has.
He has, yeah. I
mean, he scored a couple of goals, and he is getting forward.
He's been very good. He's been very good.
Yeah.
I think it's just the right back is probably a big question, isn't it? It's like, we've got Godfrey there at the moment, who does well, like, sort of defensively, and he's got pace. But when he makes a run and he gets into that area, he doesn't really know what to do with it, does he? So I feel like almost like, I saw Seamus was back in training. I would almost be tempted to put him back in, because I feel like he, even with his legs, he knows what he's doing in that position and how to get, you know, balls in.
Yeah, if you can get an hour out of him, maybe, you know, and
yeah,
or maybe the time when Patterson might get a chance when we dominate the ball a bit more.
I just don't think Dyche fancies him, so.
No, and I can see why, because, you know,
he's not
reliable in defence.
No. I feel like if Coleman's fit, I'd play Coleman. Myself, but I'm not the manager. I don't see them.
No, I think more likely it'll be Godfrey still at right back, but to provide that solidity and then, you know, free us up going forward a bit more.
Coleman maybe come on or something, yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose you do need that pace sort of against somebody like Kudus and the players they've got.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like the fullbacks, they're important, aren't they? They need to get forward at times. Even if it's just to, like... Because often we've got, like, Harrison and McNeil, and I know they get a lot of stick, but they're often, like, two against one, often the time, no?
Because you haven't got the overlap options.
No, even if the fullback, like, makes a, you know, makes a dummy run, you know, just, like...
Yeah.
Sort of suggests they might go forward. It takes the eyes away, doesn't it? Whereas often we're just relying on, like, a winger, try and beat these two men and, like, put it in, you know. I don't know. It's weird, though, because I was looking at, like, training videos and stuff. It's like, it looks like we work on stuff, but it's like, what happens in the actual match, you know? I don't know.
But then that's the thing with the players again, isn't it? You know, once they're on the pitch, with all the nervousness and everything around them, you know, it's obviously inhibiting them a little bit in a way that it wasn't when we went on that initial...
Yeah. You have to hope it's kind of, like, releases a bit of the pressure.
Yeah.
Also, we want the crowd. we need the crowd now, don't we? We need the crowd to like hype up again, you know, like
that's
we did.
The thing. I think it'll give the crowd a boost as well.
It will, because it felt like everything's against us, didn't it? And also when you factor in things like VAR and like the refereeing we get, is like always we just get the crap end of the stick every time, you know?
Yeah, it certainly feels that way, doesn't it?
So then it just makes it feel like everything's against you and like, you know, and when you haven't been winning games, it's just like a whole mixture of things, isn't it?
Yeah, everything feeds into every other thing, doesn't
it? I feel like Goodison, it needs team, like you said, the team on the pitch is often, you know, we look at the manager, but the team on the pitch to take responsibility and like have a go.
Yeah. And if you can't do that now, they've had that boost, then, you know, exactly. That's worrying.
What's the worst that's going to happen? Lose another game? I mean, really, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I suppose that is the, you know, that is the quandary, isn't it?
Yeah.
But ultimately, though, you can get as many draws as you like, but you still need wins to stay up, you know, because, like, we've got all these draws, like, worked really hard for all these draws, but, like, ultimately, you could wipe out all those draws just by getting two wins, you know, and then lose the rest.
And you've got to win those winnable games, which, you know, we did at Palace, so we've now got to start doing that.
Got to find a way. We've got the players there. We just need to find a way, really.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like making it hard. Like, we don't, like, what we used to do under Moyes was like pen people in. We'd never do that anymore. And it feels like that is when you get your results, is like penning people in. Like, and that's not even about quality. That's just about like putting them under pressure. And like, I suppose it's pressing and like, Dyche is a big thing for pressing. We need to press him back, don't we? You know, you press.
Yeah, I mean, it has been there. It's just, you know, when we get the ball, we've not been sure what to do with it. That's when we've struggled. But, you know, the uncertainty and the lack of confidence will affect
at least it makes it clear now. You've got to go and win now.
You've got that clarity
before,
now.
Before, it was a bit like, oh, well, if we get a point, that's okay, because at least we're ticking on, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't know what's going to happen in the appeal, but now we've got some points back. It's almost like, well, you know, got a bit of a breathing space. We've got to try. That's the thing. Is it like, if we take advantage now, then
it won't really matter what happens.
It could change our season, you know?
Yeah.
It really could.
Like, yeah, grasp
the nettle now. If we get a win here, we've got United, which, you know, it's not easy, but
they're beatable. Yeah.
They're not great and we are good away from home. So we could get something there, you know, so you're rolling on then, aren't you? You know? And then, like you said, you've got some like decent home games. We've got a lot of decent home games.
Forest,
so
Sheffield United.
We've got a lot of decent home games, but we need to like win them. That's the thing.
We've got to actually go out and win them. That's got to start on Saturday, really.
Find a way to win at home. Like, you know, it's crazy to say because Everton used to always be good at home, didn't they? You know.
Yeah. We need to rediscover that, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, it's like often winning at home is like about putting a team under pressure, get the crowd with you, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's like
a big part of it, yeah.
And like, especially the Goodison crowd, like, we just like all action kind of like attacking, you know, in terms of, but not even in terms of like, you know, amazing football, just like, just tempo, isn't it? It's just like tempo. Yeah. Starting at a tempo where the team you're playing is like, feels under pressure. And West Ham have got good forward players, but their defence isn't great, you know? I know they got Zuma there, but the other guy isn't great. The fullbacks aren't amazing. The keeper isn't, you know, brilliant. You just have a go at them, you know. They can concede, and they've only won one game. They're not like brimming full of confidence, you know. But they have got threats. You've got to watch.
Yeah, they're inconsistent though, aren't they?
And then our strength is our defense. So
yeah,
I don't think there's going to be much in it. I mean, I predicted it like a 2-1, but like I don't think there's going to be much in it. But we need like a big performance from your Onanas and your Decoreys, etc.
I'll take a 1-0 all day.
I'll take anything. I'm just saying, you know, I think it's going to be tight, isn't it? Because like you said, we're quite similar teams. They've probably got slightly more pace, you know. But if you can, we've probably got a slightly stronger defence and midfield, probably. If our, you know, central midfield, I think. Anyway, I don't, you know, they've got some good players, but I wouldn't say. I think Onana and Decore, if they are on it, they can dominate that area if they're on it, you know. Just physically, they've got like, you know, your Alvarez, he's done pretty well. And what's his face? So, the guy from Southampton. his name?
Ward Prowse.
He's a decent player, but he's not like... I mean, he's very good on set pieces.
Don't give him a fucking free kick, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. That was so stupid.
No stupid fouls around the edge of the box, because you can guarantee he'll...
They've got threats. I think that's why I'm saying 2-1, because I do think they'll score, but I think...
Yeah. Well, we've got to find a way to do likewise.
Exactly. We've got to find a way to get a couple, I think.
Yeah. Well, but, we'll see. We'll see what the squad selection is, if Onana's fit and all the rest of it. And hopefully, you know, we can build on this 4 points coming back and start with a win. And then when we sort of meet next time, hopefully we'll have started to pull away even more from the bottom three.
Yeah.
In the meantime, should we leave it there?
And yeah, why not?
Next week sometime? Okay. Right, great, mate. Thanks for listening, anyone who has. And up the fucking Toffees.
Ta-da. Come on, you Blues. There you go.
Cool. That wasn't too bad time-wise. Was that about 50 minutes from when we actually started talking about football? Mm. Yeah.
Hang on, let me have a look. Yeah. It's about an hour and 10 minutes, isn't it? But we talked for like
that was 15, it was a good 10 minutes. Where we
15 minutes, something else.
Time wise, hope.